We've been spending the last few weeks looking at the life and activities in the ministry of Christ through the eyes of Mark. Now, I love Mark's gospel. It is a very quick-moving gospel. Mark doesn't pull any punches. He doesn't waste any time on flowery words. He gets to the point, and he keeps the happenings in the story moving. His favorite word in his gospel is immediately. Mark gives us one event right after the other. So today we're going to look at another passage that gives us insight into the character of Christ through Mark's words. Now, last week we encountered the man possessed by demons in the tomb. This man was healed, and he responded to Christ's healing by wanting to know Christ better and by being called to serve Christ in his own community. Today we will encounter unexpected and sometimes unacceptable people. People who would be considered the outside of society, or those we wouldn't expect to have a chance to interact with Jesus. Jesus had left that man that he healed at the tombs and once again got into a boat and immediately went over to the other side. He crossed the sea. And upon reaching the shore, there again was a very large crowd of people waiting to hear him and talk to him and to be healed by him. Among those people was one of the leaders of the synagogue. Now, while he would be considered an acceptable person by the community, I mean, come on, he was male. He was a community leader. He was probably a man of some importance. I mean, the scriptures do give us his name. That alone tells us he was of some importance, Jairus. But he was one of those we wouldn't expect to be interacting with Jesus since he was the synagogue leader. As unexpected as his interaction with Jesus is, so too was his request of Jesus. The man of the synagogue asked Jesus to heal his sick daughter. This is a very unexpected request in this society. A request to heal a female child? I mean, come on, she's just a girl. She's not very important to that society. Yet this father holds her as one of value. To the father, she is not an unacceptable person. He wants healing for her. Now, I don't want to automatically put Jairus in the same categories with the other synagogue leaders who automatically did not like Jesus and automatically wanted to condemn Jesus for what he was teaching. There must have been something about Jairus that he had learned about Jesus. And we'll see more of that in just a moment. This father reminds me a bit of the father that was in the X-Men movies, who was working really hard to find a cure for the mutants. But it's not until the movie starts to unfold that you realize that the man wants a cure for the mutants because his own son is a mutant. His son has beautiful white wings. And these wings are strong enough to lift him into flight. Yet the father wants his son to be cured so he can be normal, whatever that might be. He, as a mutant, has very little value in the eyes of his own father, unlike Jairus, who sees value in his daughter. The father in the X-Men movie sort of has, we get the impression, a change of heart only when the son uses his mutant abilities of his wings to catch him up and fly him away from danger when there are others who are trying to kill him. Jairus has held his child in value just because he held her in value. He must have loved his daughter. And we need to remember that Jesus has had many encounters with religious leaders through his ministry, and they don't usually go very well. They usually end up with the leaders being more upset with Jesus after the fact than when they began, and then they get into little cahoots and start planning Jesus' demise. Yet this man, he approaches Jesus, something that is very unexpected. Not only does he approach Jesus, but he bows down before him. He bows down by falling at the feet of Jesus. This is very unexpected. Who would have thought that a synagogue leader would come before Jesus and go down to the feet of Jesus? I mean, that's the kind of thing you do to honor a king, not this teacher who's going around. Maybe this synagogue leader knew something or believed something that the other synagogue leaders were overlooking. Jesus returns the honor given to him and agrees to go with this man to heal the daughter. So off they go to walk. Along the way, Jesus encounters someone else who is unexpected to be found as one of the main characters in our stories, for it's another female, another unnamed female. So just with that, she is given the place of unimportance. She would be considered the other of society. Not only is she a woman, but she has been bleeding. So she would be considered unclean. She might even have to go around and let other people know that she was unclean, so that they wouldn't use a chair that she used or sat someplace where she sat. And we're not talking about a little cut on her pinky. This woman has been bleeding for 12 years. According to the passage, she has been seeing doctors galore. She has spent all of her wealth on doctors and finding cures. And not only is she not any better, but now she's also poorer, which gives her another chink of why she would be considered the other. She's now a poor woman instead of a rich woman. She too comes to Jesus, but not the same way Jairus did. Jairus came face to face and bowed down at Jesus' feet. This unnamed woman comes quietly, secretly, unannounced, and unexpected. She just wants to touch the hem of his garment. She knows that she can be healed by Jesus if she can just reach him. And she reaches out. You can just imagine her hand working its way through the people in front of her, and someone standing there and looking down and just seeing this arm coming past them as she tries to reach out to Jesus. And she does reach him. And she touches his clothes. And in that instant, she is healed. In that instant. It wasn't that she went away and a year from now she felt healing. In that instant, she was healed. An unexpected part of the story, which absolutely seems ludicrous, is for Jesus to turn around and say, "Who touched me?" He's in a crowd. It would be like me standing in front of the choir and one of them tapping on the shoulder, and I'm supposed to know which one tapped me. It'd be unexpected for Jesus to know that someone worked their way through the crowd to just touch his clothes, not his body, his clothes. So it'd be like walking along and having one of you touch my robe here, and I'm supposed to know that you did that. But Jesus knew it, because the scripture tells us that at that very moment where she touched Jesus' robe, he felt the power go out of his body. He felt the healing, that power that he has going from him to one who needed healing. So he asks, "Who touched me?" this woman probably thought, you know, I'll reach out, I'll touch his sleeve of his cloak, and then I'm going to get right back into the crowd, and I'm going to go home, and no one will know any better. No one will know it's me. But Jesus asked, who touched me? Now, we know Jesus, deity Jesus, all-knowing, all-powerful. He knew exactly who touched him. He knew exactly what happened to him. Yet he was giving her a moment to step forward. She was probably thinking, oh my goodness, how do I get out of here? What's the quickest way out? And while I want this to come out into the positive sounding way, Jesus was using her to let other people see what was unexpected to them. For they would not expect Jesus to be healing this person that they consider the other. For this poor woman would have an other place in society. And Jesus was trying to let the crowd see, I, Jesus, will heal all people who come to me. I will heal men. I will heal women. I will heal children. All who are in need, I am there for them. Even those we think are unacceptable, or we wouldn't expect of them to be healed, were healed. Now, some of you have probably heard the poor joke about the new arrival that comes to heaven, and he's being led through the pearly gates and through the heavenly kingdom by an angel, and as they get ready to pass the door, the angel turns around and says, you need to be real quiet as we go past here. The new arrival says, but why? Well, you see, the people in that room think that they're the only faith that's going to be here. They don't think anybody else is here. So we have to go by real quietly so we don't shock them. And they move on. A little bit later, they come up toward another door. The angel turns, you have to be quiet here also. Why? Well, you see, there are some other people who don't think anybody else will be here either. So they're in this room. Our expectations of who will be healed, of who will be in heaven, of who will be a child of God are not the same expectations that God has. Jesus heals all people, no matter who they are or where they are from. This woman also, like Jairus, falls down at the feet of Jesus. A second person has now fallen down in this story at Jesus' feet. When was the last time you fell down at Jesus' feet, whether in prayer or in conversation or in crying out the needs of your heart? How will Jesus respond to you when you do fall down at his feet? I believe Jesus will respond as he did to Jairus and to the woman. Your faith has made you well. Now remember, all this time, Jesus and Jairus had been traveling to his home to check up on his daughter and to heal her. And this little side stop with this woman really didn't take all that long. But in the meantime, servants of Jairus arrive and say to Jairus privately, don't bother the teacher any further. Your daughter is dead. The servants of Jairus refer to Jesus as the teacher. So not only did Jairus know something different about Jesus that the other synagogue leaders were not accepting, he was also sharing that information in his household. His servants knew who Jesus is and was and the things he was doing. Do you share Jesus in your household? See, Jesus overheard Jairus and the servants speaking. And Jesus turned to Jairus and just said, just believe. Jesus says that to us in our times of worry or in times of burdens or in times of whatever is going on in your life, good, bad, or ugly. Jesus continues to say to us, just believe. Believe. Jesus says to us, believe that you might be an unexpected one by someone else, but I, Jesus, am still here for you. Jesus says to us, believe that you too can receive my power, just as this woman did. Now, the expected would be for Jairus to go home and find his household in mourning, and that's exactly what he finds. The people are weeping and wailing over the death of the daughter. But Jesus goes in and tells the people, oh, she's only sleeping. Now, these people are not stupid people. These people know the facts of life. They can identify when someone is dead, leading to them laughing at Jesus, who made the statement without even seeing the child. Yet Jesus goes into the room with the girls, and some scripture references remind us that Peter, James, and John also went with him and with the mother and father. He takes the little girl's hand and tells her to get up. And that's what she does. And she's walking around. Now, this is not a baby. She's 12 years old. She's not crawling. She gets up and walks around, and the same people that had gone into that room and came out and proclaimed her dead are now in amazement to see her walking around alive. While Jairus and the woman might have been unexpected people to need the healing of Jesus, what was truly unexpected was their level of faith in Jesus. Jairus was part of a religious leaders who were often antagonistic towards Jesus, to the point that eventually wanted to condemn him to death. The woman had probably used up her faith, believing that there was a doctor out there who could heal her. Yet both Jairus and the woman possessed unimaginable faith in Jesus. Where's your faith in Jesus? Do you have unimaginable faith in Jesus also? While other people were scurrying around like mice, is your life and faith centered on the Holy One, Jesus the Christ? Church, I call upon each one of us to continue to be the ones who do unexpected things in our society. Don't do what's expected. Be the unexpected one. Stand out and do justice. Stand up and love with kindness, and continue to walk humbly with our God. Continue to be the one who falls at the feet of Jesus and shares their faith with others. Amen.